Australian futsal community, welcome to your Futsal in Australia podcast number 6. Every time we do the Futsal in Australia, we bring some special guests. These guests bring something unique to the show, and today is not different. Today we have two very special guests. For the first time, we have two females on the show, so I'm very excited to talk to them. But just before we get to them, let me introduce my co-host for the day, replacing Julian Lam, that Julian Lam is not available today. Jimmy Sufis, thanks for joining, and thanks for being my co-host for today.
Pleasure, Andre. Thanks for having me.
I'm very excited. Thanks for joining me. You know a lot about futsal. You know a lot about futsal in Victoria. And that's where these two girls are from. They're from Victoria. They're in Victoria right now. So the first one, Sarah Richardson. Sarah, thanks for accepting the invitation. And I'm very excited to be talking to you about futsal on the Futsal Australia podcast.
Thanks, Andre. I'm really excited to be here too.
Can't wait. I can't wait. And the second guest, not less important, not less involved in futsal as well, Rebecca Davis. Beck, can Hello. I call you back for the show?
Yeah, of course.
How All right, Beck, thank you so much for accepting the invitation. And both Jim and I are very excited to talk to you.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
That's awesome. That's awesome. All right, ladies, I'll leave Jimmy to ask the first question. Off you go, Jimmy.
So we'll start with Sarah. So Sarah, where were you born and where did you grow up?
So I was born in Carlton in Melbourne, but I grew up and spent most of my childhood in a little country town in regional Victoria called Castlemaine. So that's where I started off, really.
Yeah, perfect. And Beck, where were you born and where did you grow up?
I was born in England and I moved to Perth when I was about 11. And then moved to Melbourne about 5 years ago.
Beautiful.
So, Sarah, in Castlemaine, did you play any futsal growing up? How did you come across futsal for the first time?
No, I hadn't heard of futsal until I was about 14 years old. I wish I had known about it when I was younger, especially, you know, as a kid, being involved in a game like futsal, you're always involved, you know, develop skills. At an early age would have just been so great. And obviously it's just so much fun. It's an amazing game. But no, I grew up playing soccer, outdoor football, and predominantly with boys as well.
That's awesome. That's one thing that we're going to be talking about, actually. Daves, what about in Perth in England? Was there any futsal to play growing up, or what did you do when you were a junior?
I'm the same as Sarah, really. I started playing when I was about 14, but I grew up playing with the indoor soccer with a big bouncy tennis ball. That was my introduction to soccer, and then I started playing outdoor soccer, and then it wasn't until, I don't know, maybe 18, 19, that I started playing at Pro Futsal in Perth with Elle Abrahams over there. So it started, I can't remember okay. what year it was. Yeah, 20, I don't know, I'm not going to guess. But yeah, I was about 19, 20.
19, 20, okay. So I'm not going to give away your age just yet. Daves, we actually had the former English national captain, Rowan Imagine, on the show a few weeks ago, and he's saying that futsal is growing a lot in England. Do you wish that futsal was around when you were a junior over there?
Yeah, of course. I moved over to Perth when I was about 9, so I would have been pretty young, but I have seen and I do follow the English league on Instagram, and it's really cool. I don't know if you've heard of Ida Sports and things like that. They're a female futsal boot company, and so it's really growing, and there's really been a lot of endorsements and things like that for the female game in England. So yeah, it's good.
These IGU sports, but I heard they're in Australia as well, aren't they?
Yeah, they're an Australian brand and based in Melbourne, I think.
Okay, so they're not from England.
No, but they have endorsed the league over there. So hopefully, I'm sure they have some, Ida Sports.
maybe they can endorse your own academy. I heard that you now have a girls-only academy, don't you?
Yeah. We're just about to kick off. It's Melbourne Evolution Futsal Club. So it's a female-specific club. And we're just about to kick off for the juniors, hopefully in November. And that's going to be based in Pro Futsal in Mount Evelyn. So yeah, super cool. Excited. It's going to be really good. We're really having a focus on the junior female game and how we can help to grow that and the sport in Melbourne.
So you're at the moment, you only accept girls, or is that going to be the focus, or are you going to actually be accepting some boys as well?
The focus is females. Yeah. I think there's heaps of opportunities for boys with some amazing coaches and things like that, but there's nothing that really focus on the girls. And I think the girls really need that focus to help grow the game. So
it is important to have a girls coach for girls, isn't it? So Sarah, what do you think about that?
Definitely. I think, you know, the female coaches offer a lot. There's very limited that I've had in my both football and futsal career in terms of female coaches. But I think the mentality definitely I'm so impressed in what Beck is saying, and I congratulate you 100% to take that leap and to take that next step in your own career to open up your academy. I think it's going to be such a great opportunity for girls to, as you said, to be put first and to be a priority. And no, I think that's awesome. So congratulations. That's great news to hear.
We'll have to get you down. Sure.
For sure. I'll be there.
All right. Sarah and Davis, okay, so going back to your junior time, was there anyone in particular that got you involved in futsal? How did that happen? Let's start with Sarah.
So for me, it was my dad. I remember him just finding out about futsal. In terms of he's a coach as well, and he is always looking to learn and research and expand his own personal skills and understanding of different parts of the game, and was always involved in football, and his dad as well, and a lot of my family. And I just remember him finding this video of, I'm pretty sure it was the Brazilian League. Don't quote me on this because I was quite young. And I just remember seeing like a flicked ball to the top left-hand corner and the guy do this amazing bicycle scissors kick top right-hand corner. And then we just watched a little bit more of the game and just the pace, the excitement, the close skills, and then just the thinking that is involved in futsal and the fast decision-making and creativity. It just, I think it won him over, and as soon as I saw it, won me over as well. And I was there at the only futsal opportunity that we could find was trialing for the Victorian team, FFA Canberra Nationals. So yeah, that was my first futsal experience. Trying out, getting in, training, and going to the Nationals.
What were your first memories playing futsal? How did you get involved?
I think the first time I sort of played futsal was at school. It was sort of a soccer school, and it was part of the program, and I kind of stumbled across it. But majority of the indoor game was really the indoor bouncy ball in Perth for a long time. The first real introduction was at Pro Futsal, or the WA State Futsal Centre at the time. That was definitely my first introduction.
Did you girls used to like the bounce indoor ball?
Oh, yeah. I loved it when I was little, for
really?
Sure. Yeah.
What about you, Sarah?
For me, I didn't love it. Like, it was the only thing in Castlemaine that was relatively close to futsal. But yeah. I just remember it being like zero control, or it was just ping pong. It felt like ping pong. And I almost got frustrated because, you couldn't tell anyone who had more skill or less, because it was just all about running after the ball and trying to score all the time. It was just ping pong.
There wasn't any comparison for me. It was fun when I was sort of 9 years old, 10 years old. And then discovered futsal, and I was like, oh, okay, yeah.
I guess that's the thing, because you didn't know anything else. Exactly. Jimmy, do you play indoor growing up as well?
No, I played indoor when I was really young, maybe like birthday parties and stuff, but Yeah, not really. So,
when just quickly, when I first came to Australia 11 years ago, Breno Pollardi is friends with us, Sarah and I, and Jimmy now. Oh, you guys all know Breno. He took me to play an indoor game with the bounce ball. I think I played that game. After that, I told Breno, please never invite me again to play this game. I said, what kind of ball you shoot and the ball doesn't go?
Yeah. And it's just nonstop, just dancing off the walls and
crazy
different game.
The nets all the way around the court.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. I feel like people bounce into each other and they then bounce into the wall. Everything's just into the wall.
So, girls, how was playing with boys? How much did you think that playing with boys impacted your development as players when you were younger and growing up? We'll start with Sarah.
For me, I think it was really positive for me. I had two older brothers and I grew up playing against them and my dad in the backyard anyway. And majority of my friends in primary school and everything I was the only girl playing soccer. So for me, when I was four, I think I started in the Roo Ball in Castlemaine. And so for me, it wasn't like it was just soccer for me. I didn't see it as playing with boys, you know. Yeah. There was nothing else. I was soccer just a girl, one of the few girls playing. Yeah, one of the few girls playing soccer, you know. So for me, it was like it was good in a lot of respects because it helped continue my drive and my my competitiveness. And I think I never saw myself as different as well. I always had very high expectations of what I could do, what I wanted to do, where I wanted to go, and what I wanted to achieve in both football and then futsal afterwards. So I think for me, just developing the whole mentality of being a professional, like obviously not at that time, but having that mentality of a professional athlete and treating yourself as an athlete, both, you know, nutrition, but also obviously on the field, off the field, everything. I always had, you know, irrespective of who I was playing with, it was just that was the level I wanted to achieve.
Yeah. And Beth?
Yeah, I totally agree with Sarah. I grew up playing primary school every recess, every lunch, playing soccer with whoever wanted to join, and it didn't really matter to me either if they were a boy or a girl, and it still doesn't. And I even now like we train with the men, the youth team, and I think I don't really see, well, controversial, but I think
we love controversial. It's okay.
Yeah, controversial. Well, maybe not so much. I don't see why we can't have a men's and women's league that isn't just a bit of a mix, a bit of a laugh. Like, why can't there be a league that's just, if you're good enough, you can play? I don't think that is controversial, maybe for some people, but.
So what he's saying is that girls should be allowed to play in the main, in the men's league, or it should be just an open league. Is that what you mean?
Why not?
Mm-hmm.
If you're good enough, why not? Sarah?
Yeah, that thought.
Oh, man, preaching to the choir. Amount of time when Futsalers didn't even have a women's league, and I was badgering Andre and Futsalers for however long until they actually had a women's league so I could play somewhere. I was pretty much badgering them to let me play in the men's. And, you know, I trained with Andre and Pascavel for at least a couple of years. And as long as, you know, you're training regularly and you have that and you understand the level, you know, it's, for me, it doesn't matter as long as you, yeah, if you understand the level, you understand that, you know, what you need to do to maintain. And that goes for everyone, male, female, because I can tell you there's many, you know, there'd be many, many men who would rock up and just be like, yeah, you know, you're not ready. Or, you know, it's just, it's having a group acceptance of a standard, and then, you know, having ideas, and really you have to be honest and you have to communicate what those expectations are. But yeah, no, I have no problem with it.
Yeah. But also, I think going on from that as well, there's the progression at our level now is so limited, and where's the next step? And if it's not playing with the youth, if it's not playing with the men, then where is it?
Especially yeah, we're going to get to that point soon with the pathway.
But, it's a big problem.
But going back to your junior time, do you wish there was a girls-only competition, or for you, did it really matter? Do you think that it's important for girls to play only between girls growing up?
No, I just think it's important for them to be pushed and for them to get better. So whether it's a girls-only or a mixed comp, whatever mm-hmm. that is, as long as it's – because I think the problem is that some girls are pushing to a level where they need something more. And sometimes there isn't something more, and it really stints their progression, and that's mm-hmm. the issue. And that's yeah. what
so
I
the issue is more with the pathway. But 100%. What if there was a girls? If there was a strong girls comp for them to play, do you think it would be better to play or not? For you, it doesn't really matter.
Doesn't matter for me.
Yeah, what for me, it doesn't matter either. It's all about the standard and having that standard that you want to play at. I think that's the most frustrating thing for me. I'm like, I never cared if it was just all girls or if I was playing with boys. It had to be at a standard I wanted to play and train at. Otherwise, it just felt like it was just extremely frustrating and limiting. And as Beck has kind of commented on, is you kind of feel like you have to get to a stage where you either look elsewhere outside of Australia or you just accept it as a social thing, you know? And I think Beck and I have similar mindsets in some stages that it's very hard when you have an expectation for yourself and you kind of don't want to let that go, or you're not ready to just play social, it can be really, really challenging and infuriating.
It's really frustrating, very frustrating.
All right, but since your time from juniors, let's start. We're going to have to go one at a time. Just a quick timeline of your career as a senior player, okay? So some of the clubs that you played, some of the competitions that you played. Just basically the clubs and competitions that you're playing. Sarah?
Yep, so just futsal or both?
Let's focus on futsal if it's okay. But yeah, if great. You want to talk yep. about sounds football,
great.
It's up
no,
to
no,
you.
No,
it's
no, no,
okay.
no, sounds great. I just wanted to make sure. So with futsal, as we've probably commented on, your options are pretty limited. I played for Victoria in FFA Nationals, and then I played for Pascavel in both Series Futsal Victoria and the Series Futsal Australia. I played with, I think I played one season for Vic Vipers when they had an F League. I played for Fitzroy as well. So these are Australia. And then I played for the AMF Australian team, which went to the World Cup in Colombia in 2013. And then I also played for Lupe or Luperense in the Serie A in Italy. I think that's all my teams.
I'm surprised you still remember all these names.
I'm trying to rack my brain. In Perth, I played for a few teams, namely Fremantle. I stayed there for most of my time. Had a few stints. I went back a couple of times and played for Braza when I visit my family back in Perth.
Had a few stints.
Yeah, whenever I go back to Perth, I like to.
Australian terms under.
Yeah.
I like to play a game or two while I'm over there.
Come on, you're an Aussie citizen now, Andre. Get on the lingo.
No, I wanted actually to get into some controversy, that's all. But that's okay. Anyway, keep on going.
I mean, when I first moved over here, I think you sent me a message, Andre, and said, come down to Pasco. So
I sure did.
Spent a season or two at Pasco and then Fitzroy with Jimmy. And then now I'm at Carlton. A couple of trips with Bayside Pirates to New Zealand. The AFA team just last year. A few trips with the Vic State team as well.
What are some of your biggest highlights from your playing days so far? Obviously, Sarah not playing at the moment. But yeah, overall, I mean, we've had a bit of a pause, I guess, over the last 2 years on the games. It's been stop start and not much going on. So what are your biggest highlights so far, I suppose, starting with Sarah?
I think for me, definitely on the top of the list, one of the few on the top of the list was playing in Colombia for the World Cup. At that stage, we had a pretty solid team. I was playing with a few girls from Parramatta who had won the Series Futsal Australia a few times over. There were some really quality players, both Australian and international, but became Australian as well. And that was amazing just because it opened up my mind to the possibilities of futsal overseas, and pretty much led me to the desire to play overseas, and then playing in Italy and playing professionally was pretty amazing because it was always a dream of mine, first for football, but then quickly converted to futsal when I realised how much more I enjoyed the game overall and the vibes and kind of having less people in a team. I feel that worked better for me as well, just, in terms of understanding each other and really getting a great flow and some great team play. So those two are probably on the top of my list for futsal. There's been a few other times, obviously, with just club teams, Pasco and Fitzroy, playing with some of my friends who I've also played with for a long time, and just having those moments where you just, you know, just vibe and just everything works perfectly and it's in all one touch, you know, I can't ever forget those. So they're definitely, although not as, you know, fancy, I guess, they're still really, you know, they always stick in the back of my mind.
Yeah, definitely. And Beck?
I've travelled with the WA state team a few times to South America, so that was pretty cool. We trained with the Colombian national team, which was amazing. Training with, like, Lady Andre and stuff like that was really eye-opening. You just, like, they're incredible athletes, and just to even in those early stages watch them train, it was just like, wow, really opened my eyes to just how much I enjoyed the sport over outdoor. The few Victorian tours we've gone on, that's been really cool. With Bayside Pirates, we went over to New Zealand and won New Zealand National Championships, which was awesome. And playing at Fitzroy, playing at Carlton, like Sarah said, those moments where it just clicks and it's like, this is why you play the game, this is why we love the game, for sure. I've got tons of memories like that. So
I guess that's sorry to cut you off. The travel is always a highlight for a player, you know, like traveling and not knowing what to expect, you know, like when you play in your league and in your home city, you go home at night, sleep in your bed and then you go to your games, but when you go sleep in hotels with teammates, traveling, you know, it's
makes such a difference. Experience.
So, yeah, it's I can see why the traveling is always a more memorable moment, I guess.
Sure. It's just such a different experience, and you're so used to playing the same people, I guess, time and time again. But then when you experience that overseas and the way they play, and it's definitely a massive challenge.
And then as well, the culture, like, the richness of both football and futsal in these countries that we visited and played in, it feels like a completely different world almost, and a different experience, because, you know, you have people who you don't even know, like, screaming your name or, like, you know, wanting to get a photo with you. It's just like, it's crazy, and it's just like, far out, like, obviously that's not why you do it, but it feels like the love of the game is shared so much between the players and everyone involved as well. So you can't help but just feel absolutely caught up in it and overjoyed that you get to do what you love in front of and for people who love it as well.
Hmm.
Yeah, for sure.
Hey Sarah, you played. So the let's say the two biggest highlights of career, AMF World Cup in Colombia. Do you remember the year that you played?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was 2013.
2013. I remember watching the stadium were packed because you were my housemate at that time. I remember actually watching you. And the other highlight was playing in Italy. Now the national team for AMF. It is a tournament that it's they select some of the best players in Australia. You have to pay a fee still, so there is a cost. But how did you go? How did you end up playing in Italy? How did that happen? And well, obviously something that not many Australian players have achieved. I think you were the first women's player to play, right?
Australia women's player to play in Italy, definitely. And in Serie A, I think both men and women at that time. I think there'd been a few players who perhaps were in Serie C, perhaps, or Serie A due in Italy, maybe. But I don't think in Serie A. I think there might have been a few women ventured to Spain. I'm not sure what league. But, yeah, no, it was very much the first Australian. It was so weird. I think even in my head, I was like, really? Like, is there no one else? Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, just
it happened, as I said, like it was something I always wanted to do, and I always wanted to live and play in another country overseas. I've had a passion for learning languages as well, so that's something I really wanted to test myself with, which was really challenging, but really, really rich. Rich experience. I think the way it was set up is at the time I was playing a lot with and training a lot with the men's Pasquale team, who were and have always been quite multicultural. I think at the time there was French, Italian, Brazilian, potentially Turkish. There was a lot of range of different players from all over. So I think I was just asking around to some of the countries I knew that women's futsal was really strong in. So I knew Italy, Brazil, and Spain, and Portugal were probably my main options. There was no Spanish players in the team, no Portuguese players in the team. Brazil, so it was really between Brazil and Italy. And I could have got over to Brazil, but watching the level, I just wasn't sure if I was ready for that step in terms of the intensity and commitment. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, well, not the commitment, sorry, in terms of the commitment lacking finances potentially. Because I was a student at that time, so I needed some financial backing to both get me there and to support me in my time there. So then Giabatta, who was the Pasquale goalkeeper at the time, he had played in Serie A and had a friend who still did for Luperense men's team. And so he and his friend helped set up a meeting with the director of the women. And then we had a couple of Skypes where our friend Giabatta was sitting next to me to help translate. But yeah, we managed to I sent them some videos, sent them some highlights, sent them a lot about me, and managed to seal the deal, which was crazy.
It's also at that time you were putting a lot of time into your Instagram and account. Do you think that helped you to profile yourself, I guess, to get to that level as well, so they could see what you had to offer, I guess, from down here?
I don't think Instagram was that big back then. Facebook was kind of around, but I've actually looked before I shut down my social media platforms. I actually had a look, and I don't think I posted much there, especially because in Italy, I felt like at the time when I was there, they're quite behind in terms of their technology and presence in social media and in media as per se. So there weren't loads of photos that from my whole time there, there wasn't a lot of photography, and the live streaming was only in certain clubs. So I think it was more that I took I think, you know, you do have to sell yourself, but I think it was a lot about just my energy, my enthusiasm, and like obviously putting together a package, like a resume, as to what I was and what I could offer.
And how was your experience overall over there?
Oh, it was really challenging because when you are put into a situation where you're away from your family, you're away from your friends, you're out of your completely out of your comfort zone because you can't speak the language, and then you are you're expected to deliver. I remember, you know, when I scored 2 goals against one of the top teams, I was bought 2 spritz. And then like there was like an incentive, a bonus in terms of money as well, but then if you didn't deliver, it was a lot of pressure as well, so I didn't mind it too much. I wouldn't have minded if I had a lot of people around, or you know, I actually spoke the language. But when you're trying to work out those cultural differences, and you know, what you think is what you've grown up with being really polite is no longer the norm, and you have to learn a whole different way of being polite and trying to communicate how you're feeling, it can be really challenging. So I'm not disregarding that it was extremely challenging. However, it was an amazing experience. You know, traveling every weekend, going to different parts of Italy, playing some top players, top teams. We ended up getting into the final 8, and which meant that we played against Montesilvano, which for many, many, many years and still continuing, are one of the top teams in Italy in women. They have Spanish, I've stayed up with it, and they still have some of these players who have become Italian nationals and now play for the Italian national team as well. But top players, Amparo from Spain, Lucile was at Lazio, but then ended up at Montesilvano before she's gone back to Brazil. Bruna Borges is another Brazilian, now Italian, but like some top players. So, and then to see how the public, like not even just within the community itself, treat female futsal players, but the public, like if you say you play Serie A, futsal in a restaurant, they just treat you like you're a superstar, you know, and you don't ever feel like there's a gender difference. It's nothing else that I have experienced in terms of playing for a club. It's just amazing.
It is a big deal what you had. Beck, you had many highlights, trips overseas. Now, do you wish that you had played in a league like Serie A, for example, to go overseas and spend a season playing for in Italy or in Spain or in one of the other countries that have strong women's futsal like Brazil? Is that something that you still want to achieve?
Of course, I wouldn't say no. But I think, having heard Serie A's experience and having – I don't speak another language, so I think – that would be super challenging for sure and quite isolating in a lot of aspects as well. But I would definitely consider going over there for sure. It would be an amazing experience. Like how Serie A described it is just incredible. If the female athletes are there are getting treated like that, and just the experience of playing top players in the world. And I can't even imagine how incredible that would be to play over there in those leagues. That's definitely a dream of mine, along with playing in the Australian national team. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
And in all your trips overseas, there are pathways that you have to get out of Australia to learn and to improve. What has been your biggest highlight of all these trips?
I definitely think training with Colombia, playing against Colombia, that was definitely a highlight for me. And experiencing all the different cultures and I think in these countries, futsal is massive, soccer is massive. It's just their culture. Whereas Australia, it's like second to AFL and netball, and it's not that experience. So, yeah, I think definitely a stand up for me while traveling to all these different places and experiencing all those things. Definitely training with Columbia was amazing, and having their coach take us for sessions and things like that was eye opening for sure.
And comparing the level of their players to our players, obviously, you know, many good players, probably not all the good players in Australia are playing futsal right now, but we have so many amazing, talented players playing for the Matildas, for example. Yeah, Carpenter, for example, I can imagine her that she would be a gun playing futsal. How do you compare the level of their players to some of our best players in Australia?
I think, Ellie Carpenter is incredible. But it's not necessarily a direct transfer of skills. I think that futsal is, I don't know, a quarter of the size of the pitch of a soccer pitch. And so those skills that you think are sort of transferable, they're not anymore, because you can't just push a ball past the player and sprint 40 meters and beat them. You know, you have to be more technical. You have to be able to play one touch, two touch. So, in terms of the Colombian national team that I trained with, they're as good as any men's team that I've seen in Australia. Like, they would give them a run for their money. Easy, no questions. So, I think our state team in Victoria, and there's going to be trials, and hopefully Sarah has applied as well. I'm sure you have. Fingers crossed. In November, if we have the Victorian state team and the players in Victoria that should trial, we are contenders to take out the nationals. We are contenders for New South Wales. There's no question. And if we had an Australian women's national team, we'd be incredible. There's so much talent from every single state. We could put futsal on the map for Australia, I think, for sure.
Like, Sarah, if we had things in... Go for it, Jimmy.
Sorry. Just a quick question on the transition from outdoor to futsal. Lisa Devanna, if I'm not wrong, played in the Pro Futsal League when you were there?
Yep.
Was that... She did?
She played at SFA a few years ago.
So I remember watching her play one game for Moreland, I think, in the Women's Series Futsal, Victoria. But overall, like over a longer period of time, how did you find her adapting to futsal?
That's a loaded question, Jimmy. I think she is an amazing outdoor player. She's obviously fit, and incredibly fit, incredibly strong, can push the ball and beat anyone down the line. Close ball control is a different thing entirely. And thinking quickly, you've only got half a second to think. That's the difference between outdoor and indoor. And even as a coach, like you can, and as a player, you can tell who's an outdoor player and who's a futsal player just by their movements, by how they read the game, how they touch the ball, how everything to do with their technique, their mindset. It's just a different game. And although, of course, some skills are transferable, but it's an entirely different game.
We always say that if we bring the best soccer players to play futsal, the best in Australia, they would lose to the best futsal players on the futsal court. But I look at both of you, and I can imagine that if we had both of you plus some amazing women's players in all the states, we could make a very strong national team for women in Australia. But girls, talk about pathways. You talk about state nationals. So right now we have... after the local leagues, so past the state leagues, national-wise, we have the Series Futsal Australia, which is made to be once a year. We have the Australian Futsal Club Championship run by Pro Futsal, which happened last year before COVID. And it's also going to happen, I think, February or January. So it's made to be a once-a-year event. But we don't currently have a national league run by FFA. However, the state nationals are coming back, so it's for a very long time we're gonna finally have an open men and an open women back, which is very exciting. Beck, you say that you're gonna be trying out. Can you tell us how excited you are and what that means for women's futsal?
It's huge for the open women, because we haven't had an FFA open women's team. I can't even remember the last time there was one. So it's a finally finally get back on the cards, and to finally, I hope that this is just the first step to actually getting a national league. It's super exciting. And I really hope that everyone watching this and whoever can trial for the women's team, I hope they do, because we would have an epic team. But yeah, it's super exciting. I'm 28. I'm turning 29 next month. So I need the ball to get rolling, you know.
and everyone listening, Beck did say that Victoria is going to have a very strong team if the best players try out. Sarah, you got to play many FFA Nationals. How was playing FFA Nationals, the atmosphere, and what it means for to have an open men and women again?
Look, as a junior, I loved it. I think because I had this idea that there was a pathway and that I was leading to something. At the same time, I was kind of dreading going into the women a little bit, just because I felt like that might be the end. Like I'm a bit in two minds. I think if there's a lot of really good people involved in the management of something like FFA, it's like anything, to be honest. If you have enough people involved in running and running it properly, running it with equity, and it can be a really great event. You know, there's been times where, like in my first FFA Nationals, I remember playing against Solomon Islands, and they were just wicked because they were playing futsal the way that I love it to be played, and that's fast. You know, a lot of one touch, two touch play, and really team orientated. But obviously, each individual had the ability to and they had really great close ball skills. Had the ability to, but the mentality was really focused on the team. So for me, look, yes, of course, it can be a really great opportunity. And you know, if you've got someone like Beck as well involved in the women's team, and you get a lot of really great people involved in both team and management from FFV, FFA, I think it can be a really great, great opportunity. You know, we have had some great individuals involved, like Anthony Grimm, I remember, was an amazing, amazing person to have in management from FFV in futsal. But you know, there's always been things in the past that have led some of those really good people, both players and coaches and management, to walk away. So I hope that people can start coming together to really build upon the sport and to let it have the room and space and energy it needs to grow, expand, and really take off in Australia.
Yeah, so talk about Anthony Grimm. In the past few podcasts, we had a podcast with Anthony Jordan Guerrero from Anthony from Victoria, Jordan Guerrero, and Trevor Edwards from Queensland, all three together. They were talking about the plans for futsal in Australia under their bodies, federations, and together with FFA. We also had Peter Python was talking about futsals, and we had last week Eldon and Alex Novatsisis from WA talking about pro futsal and WA football. It feels very exciting, and there's lots happening. The next thing that they spoke about was Anthony Jordan and Trevor was starting a Nef League back next year. So they explains for so they confirm nationals gonna be on the Gold Coast, by the way. For FFA, they talks about starting a national league. Yep. Did you both got to play in the old F League, the FFA National League, or?
Unfortunately, I didn't because I don't think WA was involved at that time that I'm aware of. Because
they were not as a club in a
distance because of the costs involved in getting a team from WA to interstate is just astronomical. So that was a key factor in not having a WA team.
Yeah, what so about you, Sarah?
We didn't even actually know about it in WA.
Really?
At the time, yeah, I didn't know about it at all.
Sarah, did you get to play in the old F League?
Yeah, I did. I played for Vic Vipers. They were the only Victorian team who had a women's team in the F League. So yeah, and I played in the F League. Yeah.
I think the year that they played was only Vic Vipers, but the other year was Melbourne Heights as well. So Melbourne Heights had a team for one of the seasons.
Did they have a,
but anyway,
have a women's team?
Yeah.
Yes. I think the year prior Vic Vipers.
This is a long time ago now. This is probably 2012,
but,
11.
But the question I want to get to is how important would it be to have an actual National F League or a National Futsal League under FFA?
I think that's vital to have an Australian team. Is it not? That's a prerequisite to have a national team, is to have a national league, as far as I'm aware.
Yeah, I believe it is. I believe it is.
Although it feels like the men somehow managed to... you know, irrespective of whether F League goes ahead or not, somehow seem to manage to continue it's funny that, isn't it? And this is I was interested, like, when you were talking about the various guests you've had, especially those in management. I always find it interesting and also worrying when you don't hear about too many, and I know that there are plenty of women who are really, who are really great. Like Gnomes is one of them from Queensland, who love the game, who are, you know, really passionate about improving. But it does always worry me when there's not an equity in, especially management, especially of these federations, because you can't, it's impossible to represent the needs of both, all leagues, all different types of leagues, if you don't have that type of representation in management. It's just impossible. And for me, being a teacher now, I think I just noticed the stark difference even more now that I'm in a workplace that is so, it's like gender equity is so important. And, you know, there's always improvements that are being made, and it's something that's always on the, you know, in focus. And there's a lot of respect and just involvement of both sexes.
So do you think that would be good to see a female as a head of foot in one of these state federations?
Oh, 100%. Like, it doesn't even just have to be a head. It can be a partnership. It doesn't have to be one or the other. For me, it's just about having, like, an equal representation, and having making sure there is a representation.
Yeah.
I think, you know, for a long time in football and futsal, it's been a massive problem. And so you end up feeling like, even if you have a team that have all the same goals and have the same understanding, expectations, you feel like you're banging your head against a wall because those who are managing you aren't giving a shit about you. Like, it, or just don't understand.
The needs and how to progress. Mm. And the thing is, for this to go forward, for it to take off and for us to actually get anywhere, I obviously agree with Sarah totally. Like, there has to be. Because how can you know what the needs are of – you don't understand the needs or the things that are required to help us progress if we don't have representation. If there's not equity, the problem is that the men are already at a level, at one particular level, right? But the women are so far behind, and we have so many competitors that are investing in their sports, like AFL, like netball, like basketball. You're competing with all of these sports. And if you don't have equal representation, if you don't have a female in the mix, at least, it doesn't have to be a head, but you're never, if you don't give them equity to help them get to the same level, if you treat them equally, it's always going to have that disparity. So you have to give them equity for it to grow, for it to evolve.
And everyone ends up suffering as well, because you can't have progression and then a complete drop for either sex to progress in the sport. It needs to be both. And it's just so important to have the different voices and different mindsets, different ideas. It's just so crucial.
But look, as I said before, there is a series for Futsal Australia right now. There is a AFCC Women's Cup. So there are two once a year events for the women's national wise. They're both tournaments, they're not run by FFA. And there is a state nationals now back for women's. But back, how important would it be to have actually a women's national league?
Oh, it would be huge. And I hope that that is the progression from the state F leagues, that the winners or the top two teams from each state F league travel into state and play each other. That would be incredible. And I hope that is – Anthony Grimm has done an amazing job of taking over futsal with FE, and I'm sure that he will be able to tell you a lot more than I know. But I hope that that's along the lines of what is the progression from the state F leagues, because that would be
FE. Yeah, that's what he said on the show exactly. Mm-hmm. So the plans in Victoria is for them to have F League in Victoria. But in WA, for example, Pro Futsal will be running their state league. So they still have to work out themselves how it's going to run in each state. It is still a little bit confusing. National team. Sarah played for the AMF national team. We know that they don't fund all the players, so the players still have to pay to play in the competition. The competition is an amazing comp. It is an amazing experience. But we don't have a women's national team, futsal national team. Just I'll let you girls talk about this one.
Oh, wow. Oh, I guess it's, you know, I'm almost sick of talking about it for the last 15 years. Oh, I never really understood it, in all honesty, especially when I went to Italy and I could see the economic situation within Italy. And the lack of, you know, like what just your general population has to endure to survive, you know, working 7 days a week, living at your parents' house until you're at least 30 because you can't afford to rent. It's not possible. And then we have a country like Australia where we're so privileged, and, you know, so much stronger over across the board economically. And I just think it has always been a joke if there is a men's team and not a women's team. And it would be the same the other way. I just think it's so like so much equality. It makes me sick.
Like the men have had a national team in Futsal Roos, but the women apparently, well, I heard just before this podcast that there was a women's team in 2003 that I'd never heard of before. It's time for the governing body of Australia to step up, because we've been waiting and waiting and waiting for promises and hopefully the F League is the start of it, but it's happened before. So I think it's up to us as like the senior players that have been heavily involved for a long time, for our sport to grow. We have to give back. We have to pay back for this to grow, because if we don't, who will? So if we invest our time and like this podcast, like new clubs, if we continue to try and progress the sport, maybe one day it will happen, and I hope it's soon. But we're just speculating. It's out of our hands.
What would it mean having a national team for Australia? As a player, for the juniors coming up, what would it mean having one?
You would see a monumental increase in participation across the board, because the problem is that, and I'm finding the problem is with the juniors, is that they're asking me, well, Beck, what's the pathway? You've got W League for soccer. You've got playing internationally. You've got junior Matildas, you have all these things, but where is that for futsal?
Going off what you're saying, especially if you look across the other side of, obviously we've talked a few times about how futsal and football, they should be seen as very different sports, as the skills involved are very, very different from one another. But at the same time, in terms of the potential, you look at the especially the change in the Matildas since, you know, they've had serious backing behind them, both through, you know, Nike and you know, just like public support, media support, the ability to go overseas, to play in different clubs, but also the if you want to have the ability to play in your own country. And still be able to play for the national team, because a player shouldn't have to make a sacrifice or make that really hard choice to put themselves out there potentially financially, but also just as Beck said, to isolate yourself, to have to learn a different language, to put yourself in a really difficult situation just to get the fulfillment and desires that they have for playing the game that they love. You know, and I think that the ability and potential that women's futsal has in Australia, like if we just had, even if we had a women's team, like even if you, it, the backing takes a while, look at what we could do for the country. You know, we have some of the most top athletes here and the potential, and look at the superstars that we've created and the level in which the Matildas have been playing. It's just the growth in such a small time with such, you know, even not, it doesn't even match the same financial or, you know, we're getting closer, but you still see the growth and the ability in such a small time. It's ridiculous. The timing now is
perfect as well with the FIFA Football World Cup being hosted here in New Zealand.
Ah, definitely. Oh, I was so excited about that.
And as Sarah said, like, the Matildas are Australia's, like, golden child at the moment because they have had the investment.
Yeah,
they have been treated equitably. They're getting paid the same as the men. They have the investment. They have these superstars playing for them that everyone knows their name, but you have those players in Australia.
Yeah.
Their level hasn't changed. It's just that they're actually getting recognized by big brands, by endorsements, sponsorships, and people are actually saying, oh, they're actually taking notice. So this is what happens when you include both genders, you know, things progress.
And it's so good to watch the Matildas right now. They just beat Brazil the other day and they drew with them, but yeah. They're playing so well.
Yeah, it's also
look at the role modeling that they do in their generally their attitude, you know, on and off the field. You don't usually ever hear of a female athlete doing something crazy, you know? Mm-hmm. They're generally they're just such good role models in so many different ways for boys, girls, that the potential for women in sport, not just like, obviously we're concentrating on futsal because that's our sport. That's what we love. But just in general, the potential, like women's sport in Australia, there's just so many positives, so many positives.
So, girls, how could we push as in our community to push FFA to get us a women's futsal national team program? Like, what do you think we could do, I guess, from a lower level?
Sarah?
Go first, Sarah, if you like.
Look, I guess I can only really speak from a low level. I was like, I think because I grew up and I was, you know, like we're still young, you know, Beck, you're talking about you're 29 next year. We're still young, what are you talking about? I think for me, I wasn't ever ready to enter into a managerial kind of situation just because in my maturity and my readiness, I was not ever there to be able to tackle that element. I think things may have changed for me now, especially that I'm a teacher and an auntie responsibility. Yeah, I think grassroots is very important. I think if there's enough interest, there's enough growth in participation, and there's enough social outreach, whether it be some of the petitions that like Andre's set up on Get Up is always a great way to get community interest and make people take notice. I think investment as well from local businesses, small, big, doesn't really matter as well, can put pressure in the right places. And then just continually to talk, communicate, and just keep fighting.
I think for me, doing my C license. It was very interesting opening the book from FFA, and there was not one mention of the word futsal at all. But then they'll go and say, okay, everyone, get together, let's play a small-sided game, two touch. And you're like, doesn't add up, you know? So I think getting futsal on the map, getting people to realise that the importance of the game and incorporating it into the curriculum, because, for instance, Sydney, I think that they do incorporate it into their outdoor curriculum. They incorporate in futsal, and they win almost everything every year because the kids are just so switched on. They're so technically minded. They're so quick, and it's because of futsal. I think it's because of futsal. So I think getting it on the map in terms of those sort of pathways, as well as small businesses, large businesses, endorsements, you have to get them at grassroots, and we have to grow it from there.
Yeah. One thing, girls, we think that having a women's national team can't be forgotten. So this is a massive issue that we have at the moment, and it feels that this is such a big issue that people kind of have given up. And this can't be given up. I'll give you an example. In the few recent games of the Matildas, I went there on the Facebook page and I wrote, I wish a futsal women's national team could play and have that feeling. And as soon as I say that, there were lots of comments. Some comments say, what's futsal, but they don't have a national team. And I got lots of feedback, some good, some bad, obviously, but lots of people got to hear that. But I feel that we as a community have to start as somehow a campaign or somehow putting pressure on the FFA to give us a team. If we don't at least put pressure on them, we can't really ask them to give us one.
I think as well, Andre, in the past there's been a lot of individual futsal facilities, futsal providers who are doing it for the revenue, not to grow the game. And it's sort of a catch 22. They didn't want to support us because we couldn't come together as a community, but we didn't come together as a community because they didn't support us. So we're sort of in this like wheel where we can't get out of. And I think something's got to give. And if it doesn't come from the leadership at the top, it's got to come from us. So yeah, if we can get on platforms, if we can use these platforms with big followers to get the message out, Anything that we can do to make a positive step is a good thing.
I just have one more question, I think, for everyone, but Beck, I think because you were directly involved as well. So for the state titles that were held in, I think, April, early April, I remember entering a women's team. So I entered the Fitzroy women's team, and I'm pretty sure Carlton entered as well.
Yeah.
And we were told that we were the only two teams that entered here in Victoria. So my question is, I guess, do you think, and this is a conversation I've had with multiple people, do you think that clubs should be forced to have a team in each, age group? Not, I guess, all the way through is very hard, but at least at senior level, they must have a men's and women's to compete as a club.
Yeah, because and that would...
Other than that, there's really men's teams that are put together, like, I don't really consider them clubs, I guess. So, you know, like, the girls were very excited on our end, I'm sure on yours as well, and we were just told there was no one else to play against, so... I guess it was very deflating.
I think, Jimmy, you are onto something there. If you made it compulsory, then they have no choice. And then that's going to grow the sport, isn't it?
It brings more girls in the room.
Yeah, and if we can get it to a point where you need to have a qualified AFC coach to take that team, not just, girls, let's just chuck on some jerseys and play this futsal tournament. If it was a legitimate club and you had to have a futsal team, That would be huge, but I think that's a pipe dream. That's a five-year goal. But having brought up that state club championships as well, there wasn't even a 17s really competition. It sort of finished at the 15s. I had a team with Bayside Pirates at the time, and a couple of the girls were too old, so we played in an age group lower. But because we played in that age group, we couldn't qualify for the finals. So they're like, really? Well, Ben, why are we turning up for this? And I didn't even find out until the day of that we couldn't qualify for finals. And that's the glass ceiling we have as women in sport, women in futsal. Where's the progression? Where's this? Where is our support?
Yeah, that's where they get lost in the system. Once you're 15, it's like either go to outdoor or stop playing.
And then we lose a whole generation of players, and then we have to start again.
Correct, and it's a whole cycle. It's a shame.
Well, it is a shame, but they can do something about it, and that's the most frustrating thing of all is that where's the support? And I hope that now that it's finally getting taken over by Anthony Grimmer, that he will support us moving forward, because he has a framework and he has the support, which hasn't been there before. So hopefully it only goes up from here, and next year it'll be a different story.
Yeah. But we're going to be interviewing the two girls from each state coming up. So not next week, but the week after, we're going to have girls from New South Wales, Queensland, WA, South Australia, ACT, everywhere. I'm still hoping that somehow we can start a movement to have a women's national team. And one of the ideas that I had was somehow if one of these futsal girls in Australia had the contact of the Matildas, and see if they could help us put in pressure on the FFA. I know that they got what they wanted. They wanted to have equality. They wanted to have support from the government. They wanted to have lots of things that they have now. So perhaps they could help us now.
Yeah. Well, it's funny how many of the Socceroos grew up playing futsal. But yeah. I don't know. Do you have any contacts, Jimmy?
I wish I did. I really wish I did.
Sarah?
Oh, well. Oh, my God. Well, I did play with Lisa Devanna at South Melbourne, but she's not in the team anymore. And probably, you know, we have controversy around that at the moment. I'll have a little think. Get back to you.
All right, perfect. So we're gonna push for this campaign to have a women's national team. But girls, lastly, it's been an hour and six, so we have two last things to do. First thing is your short-term goals. Any plans that you can review? Short-term, long-term. I know Beck has her academy. Beck, what's happening with your futsal, and what's to come for you?
F League is coming up, as well as the trials this month, November, for national championships. It would be an honor to play for my country, but whether that happens in time, whether it happens in the next 5 years, that the national team appears somehow magically, that would be a dream come true. But as I would I love to play overseas as well, but we'll see.
Maybe Sarah can help you out with that as well. Yeah. Sarah, are you going to be playing futsal anytime soon, or no plans at the moment?
Oh, I have thought about it, Andre. I have thought about it, about coming back to the old futsal. So we'll see. Maybe sooner than later. We'll see. Obviously, this year has been pretty crazy for me. First year out as a teacher, and I think a lot of parents have understood how difficult it can be, our jobs. But look, it's been great. So with terms of futsal, I definitely do plan to come back. I feel like I've now had a pretty good break, which I really just needed after playing for 20 odd years practically straight. The politics of the game just get you. Sometimes you just need to get away from it and get all your positivity and positive vibes back without all the bullshit. I definitely do. I'll just leave it at that. Let's leave it open.
We actually have Alex Novatsis, which is a WA futsal person from WA football, saying that we need a women's national team to continue development of futsal. Couldn't not agree with you more, Alex. And we spoke about this a few weeks ago on the show. Ladies, we're going to an hour and eight. So last thing we're going to be doing is play a little game called the Rapid Fire Questions. Jimmy, if you can get your phone, I need you to have your stopwatch with 40 seconds on the clock. You ladies have 40 seconds to answer as many questions as you can. Just letting you know that right now the top of the table is being shared between 5 people. With 11 answers, 11 points. Vinicius Leite, Jordan Guerrero, Peter Parthimus, Elder Abrahams, and Alex Novatisis, they all go 11 points. So they go 11 questions correct.
Okay.
Which one of you would like to go first?
Sure, go for it. I'm going to know how my kids feel on Kahoot. All right, let's do this.
All right, so just a little tip. Don't overthink. Just there's no right and wrong answers. This is mostly whatever your answer is right for you. So you go as fast as you can. Jimmy, when you're ready?
Ready, when you are.
So let's go. 3, 2, 1. Most competitive futsal league in the world?
Italy.
Your favorite holiday destination?
Fiji.
Favorite futsal shoe brand?
Munich.
Worst injury you ever had?
ACL.
Should you train with or without shin pads?
With.
What's something you're scared of?
Being alone.
Best futsal player have ever played against?
Amparo.
Favorite jersey number?
What am I? 21. Jeez.
Hotel or camping?
Camping.
Jimmy, unfortunately, I started the last question. You go
it was 9.
Nine Man, answers,
Sarah,
for 9 points.
You need
points.
To speed up your questions, Andre. Spend half the time waiting.
Sure. Don't blame me. Come on, Sarah. I was expecting you to get 12 answers.
Yeah, and I was expecting you to speak faster.
No, I have been speaking faster every time. I'm improving myself. Beck, are you ready?
All right, let's do it.
Well, let's time 5 seconds.
Mm-hmm. Let's go.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Let's go. Would you rather play or coach?
Both.
Train early in the morning or late at night?
In the morning.
Your best characteristic?
Shooting.
Music or silence before games?
Music.
Favorite hobby?
Futsal.
Favorite futsal position to play?
Flank.
Would you rather run or cycle?
Cycle.
Which one is harder, refereeing or goalkeeping?
Refereeing.
Best holiday destination in Australia?
Cairns.
Would you Messi be a good futsal player?
Sorry?
Would you Messi be good a good futsal player?
I
lost in translation.
Yeah, translate that.
Would Messi be a good futsal player?
Yeah, of course. He grew up playing futsal.
I feel like I'm not used to Andre's accent anymore.
We're gonna give her the last answer, but yeah, you got 10 answers, and you just kind of did my accent because I was the one that did all the other ones as well. So.
You know, of course, that's not even a question. Come on, of course, Messi's going to be a good football player.
Girls, first, Jimmy, thank you so much for being my co-host for today. You did a good job. You replaced Julian Lamb. Julian is always a good co-host. So thank you, Jimmy, and I hope to see you on the podcast again very soon.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me, guys.
Thanks,
Sarinha. I shared a house with you. I've known you for a long time, but it's been great to talk about futsal with you and for everyone in Australia to listen to you. How can people get in contact with you if they want?
You can come find me in real life. That's what I'm all about. But otherwise, I think my emails are still on some of my old social medias and things. So email the way or email me all the way.
Thank you so much, Sarinha, for being part of the show. And yeah, the first time we have females on the show. Beck, thank you. You are really someone that worked a lot on futsal in Victoria and national-wise. You're someone that I'm sure that you're going to be helping lots of the new generations coming through too. But thank you so much for joining the show.
No worries. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks, everyone, for listening.
Thanks
this
for
was
a
FTSE Australia podcast number 5, 6, correction. We'll see you guys next week for number 7.
Well done. Thank you.